Okay, good evening to everyone. I'm glad to see you on this evening that the Lord has made. And I have been preparing for you. I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. And I've been working, as well as all the presenters, those who presented on last week, those who present today, and those who will be presenting this evening. We have been preparing to glorify our God the best way that we can. And we know our very best is still not good enough in the Lord's sight unless he touches it. And so we're asking the Lord to bless. We always need his blessing. We're asking the Lord to turn our water into wine. We fill our water pots. I've been filling the water pot by practicing with Zoom presenters. I've been filling the water pot in prayer. I've been filling the water pot in all kinds of preparation. So I'm going to trust our God to turn the water into wine. He is faithful. I hope everyone had a good day. I welcome you in the name of Jesus on this March 26th in the year 2021. And this is the second session of the Six Miracles of Calvary. It is good for us to be here during this most holy season in the Christian faith. And there are several holidays that come in together, Christian high holy days that come in together this time of year. And we know we're meeting today, you know, every day with God is special. And in Jesus, every day we remember him and what he has done for us. We always have Jesus on our minds, but we especially remember his sacrifice during this time of year. We especially remember how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and then the son sacrificed his life. God laid on him all of our iniquities, all of our sins, and he did that at Calvary. And so our theme for these sessions is the Six Miracles of Calvary. This is session number 2. On last week, last Friday, was our first session. And we had 2 excellent and equipped presenters. Presenter number one on last week was Sister Lily Holmes. And she talked about the miraculous darkness. Presenter number 2 on last week was Pastor Demetrius Watson, and his topic was the rending of the veil. Tonight, we will hear from presenters number 3 and number 4. And on next week, which is next Friday, Lord willing, April the 2nd will be our last session. April the 2nd, Good Friday. And we know Good Friday is where we commemorate. That is the day that we set aside to commemorate when Jesus died, Good Friday. And these sessions will end next Friday, where we will have the last 2 presenters, Minister in Training Karen Bowen. She will present the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus. And then the last presenter, and both of these, I think all of our presenters are with us this evening, presenter number 6 will speak on and bring this series to an end. Miracle number 6, revivals to life in the Calvary graveyard. But tonight, you know, before we can get to miracle 5 and 6, before you can get to that number 5 or 6, you have to come through the number 1. That was Sister Lily Holmes. Then you have to come on up to 2. Well, we came up on up to 2. That was Pastor Watson. And tonight we're going to come on to 3. That's the only way we can get to miracle 5 and 6. We have to come through 3 and 4. So having said that, let's go to our God in prayer, and then we're going to go on a little further. Blessed God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise you, we worship you, we bless you, we give you glory, honor, and praise. to the one who sits at your right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. You are the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in your very own blood. We thank you and we praise you and we worship you. And now, Spirit of the living God, we ask you to breathe upon us. Breathe upon this session in every way. We ask you to hover over Zoom, and we ask you to hover over each one of us. We ask you to glorify Jesus Christ the Lord. May everything we do point to him and bring God glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for being with us all day long. And now we trust to hear from you, Lord. You have a word for us, and we're looking forward to hearing what thus saith the Lord. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, good evening to those who are still joining us. Our agenda for this evening, miracle number 3, and she will be speaking on the miraculous earthquake, Minister Jacqueline Reed. And then our next presenter number 4, Reverend Dr. Don Vaughn, he will be presenting the miracle of the open graves. And we're going to carry on in the same format that we did on last week for the most part. When I was organizing this, me along with the team under the direction of God, it was given 30 minutes. All the presenters were given 30 minutes. And so that is the time allotted, and I try to stay within the time frame. And each presenter is aware of that as well. We are going to trust the Spirit of God because he knows on last week, time needed to be allowed for questions. Time needed to be allowed for answers and comments. And so we'll see how the Lord directs us on this evening. Well, first of all, let me also say some opening words here because I need to do this. We're on Zoom. The circumstance in the world has forced us to change things in many ways. And one of the ways is where we used to meet together for different conferences, workshops, worship services. Now, a great percentage of them is on virtual websites where we're learning and gathering together. So we're here on Zoom. I am by no means a Zoom expert. I'm trusting the Lord to lead me and to lead us and to carry us on through. I'm learning. I'm learning something new about Zoom almost every day. And so I say that to say, just be patient. If we're a little slow on doing something, or you can't hear or you can't see something, it's because we're all still learning Zoom. So I welcome you in the name of Jesus. I encourage you to continue to invite others. You can even now invite others to come on in and join us. And then for our last session, of course, I want to encourage you to invite other people to join us. And so that is what we're going to do tonight, concentrating on Jesus, keeping him on our mind. I'm looking forward now to hearing what the Lord has given our presenter, our first presenter for this evening, Minister Jacqueline Reed. And her topic for this evening is the miraculous earthquake. Let me tell you a little bit about Minister Jacqueline Reed. And I see others have joined us. I'm glad that you are here. Minister Reed is eternally thankful to God for his cords of mercy and steadfast love, drawing her unto himself. At an early age, she believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She has never regretted that and has found through the years that God never fails. She was baptized at an early age under the pastorate of Reverend James C. Wade, Sr., at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. He is in heaven now, but she is especially thankful to God for using him to instill in her sound doctrine and foundations of the Christian faith. In addition to him, her grandmother, Mrs. Jacqueline Poindexter and her mother, Carolyn, have been most influential in her life, teaching her to acknowledge God in all her ways and that he would direct her path. Minister Reed remembers the exact day, time, and circumstances when she was called into the preaching ministry with a prophetic calling on her life. It was Thanksgiving Day, 1980. For years, she has been drawn to the books of 1 and 2 Kings, where the prophets Elijah and Elisha are first introduced to us. She has learned that the particular books are characters of the Bible that one is most drawn to usually reveals in some way who you are and what God has called you to do. Minister Reed moved to Dallas, Texas in 1995, over 25 years ago. In 1998, she was welcomed into and joined the ministerial staff at Gospel Tabernacle Church, where she serves as a licensed minister under the leadership of Bishop David E. Martin, Senior, the pastor. So we want to receive now what God has to say to us through Minister Reed as she speaks on, presents to us the miraculous earthquake. Amen.
And thank you so much. I am so honored. And right now I'm feeling full because this is really sharing my testimony as well as many of your testimonies of a miraculous earthquake and breaking of rocks. We can all relate to God shaking some things out of our lives and breaking some rocks and some hard places that we've been in. And so this is close to me right now because I'm able to share as well as maybe share some of your testimony through mine that God is miraculous through shaking and breaking and delivering and healing and bringing you to perfected places in him, not just in this world, but in heavenly places, because we sit in high places with him. And so I'm also honored to be able to share this time with you because you are God's people. And I don't take that lightly. I don't take lightly the call that he put on my life to instill in God's people his word so that you can live and you can have strength in him. So as I begin, I'm going to say welcome and thank you. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Oh God. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked. And the rocks were split. Father God, this is your word. You've called me to do this. Now you use the word to edify and glorify yourself, and not that I take any glory, but you be glorified in this, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. The miraculous earthquake. Are earthquakes natural or supernatural? Earthquakes are natural things that happen on the earth, but let's look at what an earthquake really is. An earthquake are sudden and can be very violent shaking of ground and sudden slips on a fault and the resulting of radiated seismic energy caused by the slip or by volcanic or magnetic activity or by other sudden stresses, changes in the earth. What can cause an earthquake is they can be induced by human activity like tunnel constructions, filling of reservoirs, implementing of geothermal or fracking projects, or even collapse of earth, just simple as that. So what makes something so natural become supernatural to make it a miraculous event? Well, I kind of want to believe that it was miraculous because anything that God has his hand upon is a miraculous event. When I go into the book of Luke, I remember Jesus telling the disciples to come and go and get him a donkey. And when they get the donkey to bring it to him, and they asked Jesus, they said, well, Jesus, if we're asked, what, why are you taking this donkey? He said, say the master has need of it. So they went and got the donkey and they brought it to Jesus. And as Jesus descended down from the Mount of Olives, which I call the press place, the place of pressing where God extracts the anointing to pull it out of you. He came down from that place. And as he's coming down from that place, they're worshiping Jesus. They're worshiping him. All the disciples are bringing him, highly exalting him, lifting him up, blessing him for everything that they've seen him do. Now, that let me know when the Bible says that they praised him for what they've seen, that means they had a personal relationship with him. They had an experience with him. In order to worship them the way they did, they had that relationship, like I'm pretty sure many of you have had, an experience. What we need, that experience where we've been pressed, and yet he's come to us to show himself, to where we just have to glorify him. When we wake up, we glorify God. When we open our eyes, we glorify God. Just in the simplest things like that, we have to glorify God. And always when we're glorifying God or praising God and just giving him all that we have for just saying thank you, the enemy always wants to say something to distract that praise. He wants to distract the praise, because the Bible declares that he inhabits the praises of his people, and where his praise is, that's where he begins to exalt himself. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees were like, Jesus rebuked them. He said, no, I can't, because if they don't praise me, I'll have to get the rocks to do it. He needs his praise, and he deserves it, because he knew what he came for, and he knew who he was, and he knew that he is the rock, the chief of the cornerstone of all rocks. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And when Jesus came, I started thinking about the chief cornerstone. And just a little sidebar, when I think about Jesus being the chief cornerstone, I think about when the enemy took Jesus up into the high mountain to be tempted by him. And the enemy said, Jesus, take these stones and turn them into bread. And I just had a little sidebar thought. And I said, Jesus, who is the chief cornerstone, the enemy's telling the stone to turn into bread, who is the living bread. And I'm like, how is he going to tell him to don't do something that he already is? Because he said, I am, I am. So the chief cornerstone is who he is, as we see in 1 Peter 2. He said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. They're going to always reject him because they don't know the power that he has. But the ones who believe, he said, he who believes on me will by no means be put to shame. Why would there be shame in Christ? Why shame? Why would the chief cornerstone say they won't be put to shame? And then that got me to remember the woman, the adulteress that was brought to him. And when they brought that adulteress woman to him to condemn her, they weren't just condemning her, but they were trying to get at Jesus too. They were trying to get him in a spot to convict him of making him a liar, basically. But Jesus saw the woman and began to kneel down. Why would Jesus kneel down? I say he knelt down because he was also remembering, I came to set the captives free. And I'm reminding myself that I am the one that is the deliverer that does away with the law. There is no more law when I came into play. So Jesus stood up and he looked at them and said, he who was without sin, let him cast the first stone. Jesus, remember, he is the stone. He's the chief cornerstone. So whoever can throw a stone, why not the chief of all stones? But he said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Immediately, they all begin to disperse. And Jesus begins to write down again as though he had been ignoring them the whole time, because he already knew, I don't have to listen to this, because I am the one that has came to do away with the law. I'm the deliverer, but I'm here to set the captives free. So he told the woman, he said, go and sin no more. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now that to me is another miraculous event that God has done. He showed us that he's a forgiver. And all the time they try to use the law, because it was law that it was to a person that was to be in that situation to throw stones at him. But why would the chief cornerstone need to throw stones when he came to do away with that? Hallelujah. God is an amazing God, and he's a God that presents miraculous things at miraculous time. Even though it was so minor to many, it was a great thing because they didn't even know the real position that Christ had taken when he was riding on that ground. So he who believes will be no more into the law, but he came to do away with the law. And then we go to Exodus to understand the law. Why was the law so important that Jesus had to bend down and write in the ground and tell her to go sin no more? Let's look at this from the perspective of Exodus, because in Exodus, God told Moses to go and get the children of Israel and cleanse themselves. And in 3 days, bring them to him at the foot of the mountain, to not touch the mountain, to not harm it. So again, I had to think about that. God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to cleanse themselves, and in 3 days, meet him at the foot of the mountain. That kind of reminded me of Jesus, who was washes us in his blood, which we don't have to do anymore. And in 3 days, he said he was going to rebuild that temple, his body. So washing, which Jesus did, 3 days, which Jesus did, and we're at the foot of the cross. Well, at this point, we're at the foot of the mountain that can't be touched. But when we're at the foot of the cross, it can be touched. So God descended on the mountain in a fire. And that fire billowed up in a great smoke. And it was trembling. The Bible says there was an earthquake because God had made his presence known. So why was this so significant to what God was doing, what Jesus was doing when he wrote on the ground? And what makes this such a significant point to the cross? God was trying to reveal the natural state of man's sin life, his sin nature. And he was trying to let them see what sin would do in their life had they not become a holy people. So he wanted them to have a personal experience with him for themselves instead of hearing it from Moses. They wanted that personal experience. That's what he wanted them to have, to let them know, I'm bringing you near me because I'm trying to draw you near, but I need you clean. I need you clean, and I need you to follow my holy statutes so that you can be obedient to what I have for you. And then that takes us to the Ten Commandments. God began to share his commandments with his children. And if we look at the Ten Commandments, the first one says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, if we look at it, there's Ten Commandments. But when Jesus died, and when he was on the ground, he knew that he came to do away with the law. So he became one commandment. Because if we have him, the only God, the one we should serve, the other nine would not exist anymore in our lives. Because now greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if I take my one commandment, and that's to serve him, and to believe on him and to live for him, then the other nine would not exist anymore. And why the nine? Well, let me tell you why the nine have to go. Because nine represents perfection. Nine represents completeness. When God met with Abraham, he said at the age of 99, he said, go before me and be made perfect at the age of 99. So we know that nine is complete and it is made perfect. So why would I say 99? Because it was the ninth hour that Jesus died. It was the ninth hour that darkness fell. It was the ninth hour that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. It was the ninth hour that the earth quaked. It was the ninth hour that the rocks broke. Because he became the completed work. He said, now it is finished. I became that commandment. I now am the one you can come to. You don't have to go by the law, because the law has been done away when I gave my life. I didn't give it up to them to take it, but I gave it up myself. And I also am going to bring it back, because I am God, the one that they were worshiping when I came down from the Mount of Olives. I am the one that they tried to say to condemn my people. I am. The great I am, the same great I am that told Abraham to go take his son Isaac up to the mountain when he brought him the 3 days journey to the altar to worship and sacrifice for him. And not only did he not use his son, but he provided a yet another sacrifice that was what? In the thorns, the same thorns maybe that were on the head of Jesus. I don't know. But I know that is such a prophetic word that the Mount Sinai would have on the commandments of the Calvary cross. I look at Calvary as two parts. There's two pieces of wood, one that goes vertical and the other one that goes horizontal. The one that goes vertical is pressed down into the ground. Remember, that was the only stone that was never shaken in the earthquake. That was the only stone that was never moved, was Calvary's cross. So why would I look at it like that? Because that wood that was pressed down was the one way up. He was the one way up. I look at it as I am the way. And with his arms stretched out, with the horizontal, says that's how much I loved you, because I died for you, but I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come unto the Father except by me. So that's the way I look at the cross. And I look at it in such a way that when I go through the works of God, he has in his word in the book of Colossians, he said, having wiped out the handwritten of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When they tried to make shame of Christ, God turned it around and he said, no, I'm shaming you, because what you don't know, what you've done was I got power back. I've got life back. I've got the keys. So whatever we need of him, we're able to go to him. There's nothing that we cannot go to him for that he's not allowed us to have, because he said, I am the way, not just in salvation, but in deliverance, in healing, whatever you have need of. There's nothing too hard for God. And I thank the Lord that he has allowed me to go before him and have that personal experience. And I know you guys can say, I've had that personal experience. I've had the cross experience. I've had the rock experience. I've had the earthquake experience. They weren't all good, but he brought me through the press, the press of the Mount of Olives. He brought it down and I was able to glorify him, because I know he's brought me through. And to this day, he's bringing us all through. Even the things that we're going through now, don't worry about it, because he's sent me to tell you, he's breaking those things down. He's shaking those things up. Just worship him. That's all he's asking you to do, is just worship him. Give it to him, just like he did with Paul and Silas. They were just in there singing praises unto God. And because of that, when it was dark, he shook the chains loose. He shook them free. They didn't leave, but they were still free. And I want to thank you all, because my time is done.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Minister Jacqueline Reed. We have some minutes here. And thank you for sharing on the miraculous earthquake. And I would like to share a few things, and then we'll open it up for anyone else who has comments or questions. Our theme, as you know, is the six miracles of Calvary. And you know, when Jesus died, there's a song we sing. Most of you know it. It doesn't have a lot of words. The song simply says, Calvary, 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 Calvary. And then we say, surely he died on Calvary. And then we'll say Calvary again. And we'll say, surely he died on Calvary. And you think, now when he died on Calvary, his death is like no one who has died before him. When he was living on this earth, no one who died during that generation or anyone since Jesus. But when Jesus died, Sister Holmes told us on last week, the earth got dark. Now there is many people, many, many today, and it was a supernatural darkness. It wasn't like nighttime. It was a supernatural darkness where it got dark in a supernatural way at noonday. Stayed dark for 3 hours. Now when you think how many people have died, well, everyone that has lived so far, except for those two that were translated, Enoch and Elisha. Well, out of all the millions and hundreds of millions and millions and billions, probably a number we can't number, but of all those who died and have died today and will die, not for one of them did the sun go out at noonday. But when Calvary, surely he died on Calvary. And then we come on up to that second miracle. And that second miracle, the rending of the veil from top to bottom. God's witness that he had accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. Nobody else's death made a difference. But when Jesus died, we say, surely he died on Calvary. Then we come on up to this third miracle, the earthquake. And now think about it. Now, when all these people who have died and will be coming along whenever it's time for our number to come up, that appointed day will die. But do you think there will be a miraculous earthquake when any of us die? Or anybody who has died or will die. Life's gonna go on just the same. Not gonna miss a beat. Maybe with your loved one close to you. And they'll be trying to, they'll always be in our hearts, those who have passed on. But life makes us go on. Life makes us go on. But when Jesus died, I mean, that's why we can say, surely he died on Calvary. The earth quaked, bore witness. Somebody died here today that has made a difference. The whole earth shook as a witness. You know, the whole earth and the scriptures say reeled and rocked like a drunken man. So surely Jesus died on Calvary, and it was a miraculous earthquake. Thank you, Minister Reed. It was a miraculous earthquake. This wasn't no physical science earthquake. It wasn't any natural reasons. This was a God earthquake, the same God who made the earth. You know, he can shake it. And the Bible lets us know one day he's going to toss it like a ball. You know, we need to be in Jesus. God who made this earth can toss it like a ball. He can make it real and rock. But when we die, ain't none of that going to happen. But when Jesus died, the earth bore witness. The whole world, the earthquake. But the cross stayed right there in place. And so powerful was this earthquake. And Minister Reverend Dr. Vaughn's going to tell us more about it, that graves were open. So I just wanted to say in these few minutes that we have right now, the earthquake, surely Jesus died. It was a miraculous earthquake. Surely Jesus died on Calvary. Amen. And we're coming up on these high holy days of the Christian faith. You know, this coming weekend, these two holidays, these two holy days coinciding together. Passover, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus Christ, he is our Passover. Palm Sunday coming together. And we'll be saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. ushering us into Holy Week, the Passion Week. And surely we'll be saying he died on Calvary, leading us on up to Good Friday. And this time next week, Good Friday, we'll hear about our two last miracles. And then Jesus died, the burial and the resurrection. So when we talk about Jesus, he died a death that no one else could die. No one else could die a death. We know we're going to die. All of us know that. And we're preparing for that day one way or another. But Jesus knew when he was going to die because he's the one that dismissed his spirit. We don't have power to do that. Not a one of us can say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Who of us can do that? And if we could, we wouldn't, because we're trying to live here as long as we can. Amen. Happily. Praise the Lord. But Jesus dismissed his spirit. And then when he said, it is finished, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, surely he died on Calvary. Are there any comments or questions on the miraculous earthquake?
I would just like to say, Sister Carolyn, my fellow presenter, God bless you. I know that there are some great things going over at the Tabernacle. And I pray that one of these days I have an opportunity to come out there and see for myself. Thank you for blessing us on this evening, my sister.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Very well. Amen. And that's Jacqueline who presented. Minister. Oh, you got Carolyn up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm using her material because mine don't do with hers.
Well, that just says you can't believe everything you read.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Sister Jacqueline, God bless you. This is Sandy up in Omaha, Nebraska. And sweetheart, you did an outstanding job. Amen. And I love you very much.
And I love you too. I do love you. Good to see you.
It's good to see you too. Yes. Love you.
Love you more.
Remarkable job. You spoke that word, girl.
Thank you.
Bless you. Yes, amen. Well, we're going to move on. Are there any other comments, anyone? Okay, if not, we're going to move on to the fourth miracle. But let me interject here. Because I didn't say it at the beginning, how this series came about. I said it on last week, but I want to say it each week because the six miracles of Calvary is not something God gave to Velma per se. This comes from a book by the same name written by William R. Nicholson, The Six Miracles of Calvary. And if you want to read more about it, you can order this book online. And it would be a blessing to you. I first was introduced to this book 30 years ago in 1991, and I have held on to it through the years. It has been a blessing to me. Well, having said that, now we're going to transition into miracle number four. And you know, miracle is a big word. That's a big word. It only has three syllables. And you don't have to be very old to learn how to spell miracle. You know, it's simple in the sense that three syllables, it's easy to pronounce. It's not a hard word. A child can pronounce it. A child can learn how to spell it. But it's a big word because only God can do a miracle. So this is now we're going to talk about the miracle. Our Dr. Vaughn is going to tell us about the miracle of the open graves. Let me tell you a little bit about Reverend Dr. Vaughn. Reverend Dr. Vaughn is a native of Mississippi, born and raised, and has lived in Mississippi most of his life. Next month, he and his wife, Sharon, will celebrate their 38th wedding anniversary. They have two adult children, one of whom is a pastor. On March 30th, that's next week, Tuesday afternoon, his first grandchild, Kylie Joy, is due to arrive. Amen. Reverend Vaughn has served as a pastor for 32 years, pastoring in five different churches. Currently, he is the pastor of Mount Vernon Baptist Church. He received a PhD in mass communication from the University of Southern Mississippi in 2007. He also is a professor teaching journalism and speech communications at East Mississippi Community College and the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. His favorite book of the Bible is Philippians, the joy epistle. His favorite verse, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. He has worked in radio broadcasting since July 1975. He is the general manager of the radio station WGTC, where he is lovingly called Radio Don. He is the director, writer of the live radio broadcast Hope for Tomorrow. Also, just recently, he has been blessed to have daily 4-minute spots on a secular radio program station, an opportunity for him to share the gospel. It is possible that his 4-minute spot sharing the gospel could be sandwiched between Madonna, Lady Gaga, Michael Jackson, who knows? But there's the gospel shining forth through Radio Don. Dr. Vaughn and I first met when he was listening to my radio broadcast that aired in Mississippi. He heard me teaching on the Preached Christ, and he contacted me wanting to know, do you have a CD? And that's how our friendship was born. So join me in welcoming, and we look forward to hearing about the miracle of the open graves. I present to you, Reverend Dr. Don Vaughn. Amen.
I appreciate this preaching assignment, Sister Velma. Thank you for inviting me to be part of these three consecutive Friday nights in the God's Word Alive Bible Teaching Ministry.
Yes.
I think it is great that we're focusing on the miracles that happened at Calvary. I tried to get in last Friday night, but couldn't. But I listened to the recording last night, and it was wonderful. So edifying. Sister Lily Holmes and Pastor Demetrius Watson gave superb messages, and Sister Velma had great commentary and such a great presentation from Sister Jacqueline tonight. I appreciate that so very much. I will be preaching on the miracle of the tombs breaking and the graves opening. In a moment, we'll read Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. My grandmother, whose name was Velma also, told this anecdote that I'm going to try and tell. In the early part of the 20th century, it was the custom for cemeteries to have a shed so that people could be protected from the rain during a burial. In the community where my grandmother lived, there was a sweet lady named Miss Meaty. And she wouldn't hurt a fly. And Sweet Meaty often got out at night and meandered into people's homes. This was during a day when doors were not locked. And grandmother said, if a family heard someone walking around in the house, they immediately thought, oh, that's just Miss Meaty. Well, one rainy night, a man's car broke down on a road where there were few houses. Rain was really coming down. And he proceeded to walk to a friend's house to get help. After walking a little piece, he went inside a cemetery to get under the shed. His idea was to wait there until the rain let up. So there he was under that tin shed as the rain pelted down. A few minutes later, it slacked off, and that was a good opportunity for him to walk some more toward his friend's house. He had no idea that someone else was under that shed. And just as soon as he was about to walk from under the shed, Miss Meany had caught a cup of water and she threw it in his face and said, "Here, have a cup of the Holy Ghost." And that man took off running. He was scared to death. There's something about the ambiance of a cemetery after the sun goes down that is a little disturbing and frightening and somewhat intimidating. But this miracle of the open graves at Calvary was anything but disturbing and frightening. It was a beautiful picture. In 1996, I had the joy of going on a seminary tour with a group of pastors. We went to Jordan and Israel, and I remember the day we were at Calvary. Calvary is the English name that came from a Latin word for the human skull. Golgotha is Greek for the place of the skull. And when I gazed upon it, it did look like a skull. As the book, The Six Miracles of Calvary, points out, it is certain that a graveyard existed near Calvary, since the body of Jesus, which was crucified, was placed in the tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. What a miracle. Let's go again to the Lord in prayer. Precious Lord, thank you again for this wonderful miracle and all six of these miracles. Thank you that we have the opportunity to go into your word and to read and be led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for what we are experiencing here with this wonderful time together. And we pray this in your precious name, believing, in whose name, Jesus, we always pray believing. Amen. The fourth miracle of the tombs breaking and the graves opening. That's what I'm going to preach on. The Lord wanted this fourth miracle of Calvary to be seen as a testimony to the power of Christ's death. Therefore, it would necessitate that the graves that opened were not that far from the cross on which Jesus Christ had died. These were rocky tombs, holes carved into the rock where entrances were sealed by stones, which were like boulders. And they were rolled in front of the entrances. The Bible says the rocks were split and the graves were opened. I like how Dr. Nicholson and Dr. Schaefer give us this critical thinking question, Sister Velma. Since it appears that the opening of the graves is so closely connected to the splitting of the rocks, why separate these two events? The reason they must be seen separately is because there's a significant distinction between the two events. The rocks were split and the graves were opened. The splitting of the rocks was the evidence of force. The splitting of the rocks was the evidence of force. The opening of the graves was the evidence of design. The splitting of the rocks didn't foretell anything to come, but the opening of the graves did foretell something to come. And that something to come is what I call the greatest event that has ever happened on this earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, resurrected from the tomb after dying in a graveyard for our sins, for my sins. The opening of the graves was not a logical result of the earthquake. The opening of the graves was an event with its own unique meaning and importance. And it portended. It portended the greatest event to ever take place, our Lord Christ resurrecting from the dead. If the Lord Christ has not raptured the church by the time I die, I plan to be buried in the cemetery behind Center Grove Baptist Church, not far from where my wife and I live. My parents have been laid to rest there. My sister-in-law has been laid to rest there. My grandparents. I probably knew one third of those who were buried there. And every now and then, especially on a pretty day, I visit that cemetery. And it is so quiet. It is so peaceful. But just imagine I'm there one day paying my respects to my loved ones who are buried there. And suddenly I began seeing graves open and resurrected bodies of individuals. At first, it would be a tremendous shock, but probably after my heart stopped palpitating, I'm sure I would see that as a beautiful sight. It was a beautiful sight at Calvary. Beautiful sight when it's verse 52 says, many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is a euphemism for death. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Whose graves were they? None of them was lost souls. I like how page 71 puts it. And Sister Velma, this is such a wonderful book, and it'll always be in my library, and I appreciate you mailing me this book and signing it. I appreciate that very much. But I like how page 71 puts it, not one person's grave was opened whose soul did not have a saving interest in the death of Christ. So those graves being opened was just a taste of what was to come, the resurrection of the greatest person who's ever lived, Christ Jesus, our greatest friend that we will ever have, that we've ever had, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we're banking our souls on, the one through whom there is eternal life, the only one through whom there is eternal life, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So those graves being opened was just a taste of what was to come, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Page 72 points out that it's important to note that while the graves were opened at the moment of Christ's death, the bodies did not arise from them until after his own resurrection on the third day. Matthew chapter 27, verse 53 says, they came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection. The record makes it clear that they were not raised until Jesus was. The opening of the graves had a significance beyond simply being necessary to release the resurrected bodies from their rocky tombs. The opening of the graves was not simply a physical necessity for the resurrection any more than it was a mere physical consequence of the earthquake. On page 72 of the miracles, the six miracles of Calvary, it points out that the miracle of the opening of the graves was a miraculous act of preparation that needed to be accomplished the moment of Christ's death and timed to occur at precisely the moment our Savior entered among the dead. It could not be put off until he returned from the dead although what he intended to accomplish among those who would be resurrected had to be delayed until then. Modest Mussorgsky was a Russian composer. His greatest work is Pictures at an Exhibition. A visit to an art museum inspired him to compose Pictures at an Exhibition. It has 10 movements, and each movement represents one of the drawings or artworks on display. Pictures at an Exhibition. The miracle of the opening of the graves was meant for an exhibition. It was a beautiful picture on exhibition. It had a story to tell. I love how the book points that out. It had a story to tell. I love the hymn, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations." H. Ernest Nickel gave us that hymn. It was published in 1896. The lyrics are, "We've a story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light." Well, the miracle of the opening of the graves had a story to tell, and what a story. The message was, death is not the end. The grave has been conquered. Sin has been conquered. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died for our sins. For many years, I've written a little newspaper column titled Vaughn's Vocabulary. It's all about words. It quizzes readers about advanced words. I've been writing it close to 25 years. It started out in radio and ended up in a college newspaper and then in other newspapers. I would love for your Omaha Star to publish it. Perhaps one of you could give me the name of someone to contact there, but I enjoy writing that little column, Vaughn's Vocabulary, about advanced words. Isn't it something that there's only a one-letter difference between grave and grace? Only a one-letter difference between grave and grace. I'm telling you what you already know. The grace of Jesus Christ is awesome. My students use that word awesome a lot. Minister Bowen, my students use that a lot, awesome. The grace of God is awesome. I am a product of grace. I am one man who has been encapsulated in grace. God's just carried me through my life in his grace. That's all it is to it. Out of his grace, the grave is nothing. It's nothing. The grave is nothing for the believer in Jesus Christ. Those openings of the graves told the message of grace. The message of grace. The grave is not the end because of Jesus, who has died and resurrected. As Dr. Nicholson's book has pointed out, the resurrections from these open graves did not happen until Jesus had resurrected. The resurrections of the saints, what type of resurrections were they? These were resurrections of mortal earthly bodies, the kind that Lazarus had when Christ said, "Lazarus, come forth." I've heard preachers all my life say if Jesus hadn't specified him by name, then all cemeteries, they would have come out. But the opening of the graves implies an earthly resurrection. These tombs did not need to be opened so that the bodies could resurrect. No, a spiritual body has spiritual properties. After Jesus' resurrection, he entered a room where the disciples were gathered, and he didn't have to go through a door. He didn't have to go through a window. So this kind of resurrection does not need a grave to be opened. In the same way that the departure of our human spirits from earth when we die is not dependent upon breaking down the walls or the windows or the ceiling of the room in which we die. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, I know you know that verse well. It's where he teaches that for the believer in Christ, that's you, that's me. And I praise the Lord that I am a believer in Christ. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 teaches that for the believer in Christ to be absent from this physical body is to be present with the Lord. Our spirit departs and goes on to be with the Lord. On pages 74 and 75, this is such a great book, Sister Velma. On 74 and 75, Dr. Nicholson and Dr. Schaefer point out that the resurrection of Christ was different than the resurrections that occurred the morning he resurrected. Let's think about that. That stone that sealed the tomb of Jesus had been rolled away, but please know, I know you know this, Jesus had left the tomb before the stone had been moved. The reason the stone was moved was to show his believers that the tomb was empty and to show them that Jesus is alive. On the other hand, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Lazarus was called back into his original physical body. The saints who came back to life at Calvary experienced their natural earthly bodies being resurrected. They had not yet received their final glorified resurrected bodies. Those saints who were raised from those tombs were not by themselves an adequate expression of the victory that Christ had experienced. They were not yet risen from the dead like Christ was, yet they were revived from the dead. Revived. Nevertheless, it was an amazing event. It was a miracle, and it affirms what Jesus had declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. The opening of the graves symbolized the removal of all obstacles to the final glorious resurrection that will take place when Christ comes again. Christ's death, as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, opened the graves. He destroyed the power of death. His death destroyed the power of death. What a miracle. And as Sister Lily pointed out last Friday night, a miracle is something only God can do. But hear me carefully as I try to say this clearly. I believe the miracle of miracles is when a lost person is saved. And you think about it, the miracle of the new birth, being born again, that is a miracle. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. We're all born with a sinful nature. I wish I could have surgery and have my sinful nature removed, but I can't do it. I have a sinful nature, but praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit who is in me overrides the sinful nature. But we're all born with a sinful nature. And when a lost person becomes under conviction of the Holy Spirit and repents of sin and trusts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that is a miracle. a miracle of God. Why is that a miracle? Because a person doesn't get saved on his or her own. God does it through his miraculous saving power. And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is still in the saving business in 2021 and beyond. And that miraculous saving power is for anyone who comes by the way of the cross on which Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ died in a graveyard. When our physical bodies are at rest in some graveyard, cemetery, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. The beginning of all eternity. And eternity is forever. Christ's power will resurrect his believers from the dead. Let's go again to the Lord in prayer. Precious Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you for the miracles of Calvary. Lord, I thank you for God's word alive and all of these dear friends. And I pray right now in the wonderful name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who died in a graveyard so that we would resurrect one day, so that life will not be the end, that death is not the end, that life is for all eternity with you. I pray that you would bless every home who is represented here. Lord, just bless them, Lord. Bring blessings to them out of your own grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that you would meet needs. I thank you, Lord God, that you have allowed me to be part of this, Lord God. And I just give you all the praise, all the glory. And I pray that you will bless Miss Velma, Sister Velma. She's worked so hard. And the presenters, Lord, these other presenters, I pray that you just bless their lives in a wonderful way. And we give you all the praise. And it's in Jesus Christ's precious name that I make this prayer, believing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all very much. Thank y'all.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Praise the Lord, the miracle of the open graves. Well, I'm going to make a few comments myself, and then we have time for others to make comments, or perhaps you have a question. And you know, these miracles, the miraculous darkness, as I said on last week, most of us have heard about that, because you hear preachers say all the time, and Reverend Dr. Vaughn, you've probably said too in your sermon, the earth got dark when Jesus died. We've heard that. We've heard them say the sun went down when Jesus died. So we've heard about that, and the rending of the veil, we've heard in sermons. I can remember Reverend Wade saying over and over again, when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Preachers say that, as they should. And then the earthquake. Well, I've heard that, and you have too. But this miracle of the open graves, that is something that we don't normally hear about. And it needs to be said, you know, because it did happen when Jesus died, as Reverend Dr. Vaughn has told us from the Word. When Jesus died, the graves were open. And we need to ponder and think about all these miracles and meditate on them. And you know, now Dr. Vaughn said after he got over the shock that he would probably be okay. But I'm like, boy, that shock would last a long time. If I was walking in the graveyard and it started splitting open, you know, that's a frightening thing to me. So, but when the graves opened here, when Jesus died, and you think it says, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. Now that's entering into miracle number 6, Overseer Maxey's topic, the revivals to life in the Calvary graveyard. So I don't want to say too much, but I do want to say those graves stayed open for 3 days and 3 nights. You know, just an open grave in the graveyard for all to see. just laying there. I mean, that's something to think about. And that would be frightening to me and to most anybody normal. That would be quite frightening to see these open graves and these bodies. And then resurrection morning. Now, this is the, I just love this. I love this because, you know, I could go on talking about this myself. So I have to be careful here because I don't want to do that. But when Jesus died, and you all, like I said a few minutes ago, how many people have died? And when they died, including us, when we die, do you think any grave is going to open? Not a one. Ain't nobody's graves opening when we die or anybody else who died. But when Jesus died, the graves opened of the saints. You know, his death made a difference. And that's why we say surely he died on Calvary. And then the resurrection, because we're coming up on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. And that's part of why, you know, I was inspired to have this series on the six miracles of Calvary. But we have to, in order to get to the resurrection, we have to go through the death and the burial. You know, that grave is the burial. And burials are important. Now, that doesn't mean if someone's cremated, you can get to heaven however you go. You know, just come through Jesus. That's no deterrent to God, someone being cremated. Either way, the body has to go back to the dust. And then when you think about Jesus, when he died and those graves were open, but they didn't get up till he got up. But it's like a sample. When he got up, they got up. And then it says here, they went into the city and appeared to many. Well, that's good news to me. Now, that would scare some folks to death, I would think. You know, if some of my dead relatives showed up at the door, how would you respond? I mean, that's miraculous in itself. But they showed up and went and appeared to many. Well, I see that as a foreview of glory. When we get to glory, we're going to be seeing each other. They were seeing each other down here at the resurrection when Jesus rose. So in some kind of way, however God has it fixed, we will appear to many. Praise the Lord. So are there any other comments or questions? Thank you, Dr. Vaughn. Thank you so much. And I teach a series on, I'm watching the time here, but this is by the way, I teach a series on the little word all, A-L-L. And I like those little words because those little words are the huge words. All. Three letters. One syllable. But it includes everybody. That's a big word. All. You know? And there are several things in scripture where it's all. And Dr. Vaughn mentioned one. I believe all have sinned. All. And the series I teach on, the teaching I have is these things that happen to all. All sin. Well, because all sin, all die. That's what God said. All die. All die. Big word, all. But then it comes back and all shall be raised. That's in scripture. I looked it up so I could have the scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam, all die. In Christ, all coming back up. Everybody got to get up out of that grave. You might go, you're going to go to different places, but in Adam, everybody dies. And in Christ, all are coming up. And I remember when I was a little girl, and I'm trying not to talk too much, but I remember when I was a little girl, my mom would fix these cakes, and you all have done the same, and cut off a little bit and give it to us as a sample. Little thin cake. I don't know what kind it was. I'm going to have to ask her. It was good because we ate it. And I still remember it to this day. And she would give us a little slither slice of a cake. And that, to me, is what this is. It is a sample of something that is yet to come, where the graves will be open. In some kind of way, God's going to raise that body back up. And resurrection morning was a sample. So there's hope beyond the grave. And we want to thank God for Jesus, first of all, and the miracles of Calvary. Now, anyone else?
Dr. Vaughn, Lily Holmes, I just want to say that you did a great job. And Sister Reed, Sister Jacqueline Reed, yeah. Praise God for you.
Thank
you did a great
thank
job.
Thank you, ma'am.
But Dr. Vaughn, I kind of thought you were going to do your preacher thing when you said you were going to preach, and all preachers, you know, they go overtime and they have to tell at least one joke. So you did your joke, but you didn't go overtime. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Miss Lily.
That was a good
thank question. You, Sister Lily.
Anyone else? God bless
yes.
everyone.
Reverend Dr. Vaughn, thank you so much. What a blessing. I saw the flyer and it said Mayhem, Mississippi. But I want to let you know you didn't raise Mayhem. You brought hope. So thank you. God bless you and happy Easter.
Thank Amen. You, Minister Bowen. God bless you,
God
Minister Bowen.
Yes,
God bless you, Minister Bowen.
There's I need to say this. The flyer does say Mayhem, Mississippi. So Dr. Vaughn emails me after he sees the flyer, which is all over the place. And he says, can you change that Mayhem to Mayhew? That M is upside down. It should be Mayhew. So I said, it's too late, Dr. Vaughn, but I'll get it right in the Omaha Star. But there is nothing mayhem about Reverend Dr. Vaughn. And
well,
there is
so
no
kind.
Mayhem about the miracle of the grace. It was an innocent mistake. But I've Amen. Got it from now on. It's Mayhew, Mississippi. Amen. Someone else?
I just want to say to you, Minister Reed, I thank you for, first of all, let me back up and say we praise God from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. His name is worthy to be praised. For you bringing to light that Jesus Christ, our rock, while he was hanging on the cross, the earth shook, the earthquake shook the earth, but where he was stationed did not move. I thank you for that. I just want to mm-hmm. also say to you that I live five houses down from J.C. Wade, J.C. Wade. BTUs were wonderful at Salem when I was a youth. And so I know from which you come. And so thank God for you and your heart that you brought this miracle to life for us tonight. We really appreciate that. And so we also want to say to you, Doctor, truly you did an awesome job. I thought
bless your heart. Thank you, sir.
Going to preach the fifth and the sixth, but as we all know, is there's no way that you can just stay focused on the one without going before and after. And so once the grave is open, then you have to preach the full unadulterated gospel. And you did that, sir. We appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. Thank
truly,
you, sir.
Truly, we learned a lot tonight from your aspect of that. And truly, we thank you for your word tonight.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother.
God bless you. Anyone else?
I see the body coming together, and I've been so inspired since last week because the first two speakers were just phenomenal, and I've been full, and I even told you that I've just been blessed from that, and the building of what you said, Doctor, it made me not afraid of the death, but it makes me want a cup of Holy Ghost. Thank you for that. I loved it. Thank you. So to all the speakers, thank you so much. I'm inspired. I really
Amen. 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 Someone else?
Dr. Vaughn, you deliver a dynamic message.
Bless your heart, ma'am. I really appreciate that. You're so kind.
You're welcome. It's so nice meeting you by Zoom. And, you know, you're my brother. All my sisters in Christ, it's phenomenal. Thank you, so much for such a dynamic message. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
These speakers, the presenters, you can hear them again on my website. The entire session from last week, the audio, and I will just be posting audios, not videos. But the audio is there, the entire session from last week, where you can hear Sister Lily Holmes. Perhaps some of you may want to hear it again. You know, you have to chew. When you chew on food, you don't just chomp and that's it. You chew and you chew and you chew. Then you swallow. You got to chew on it a while. And so maybe you want to hear Sister Lily Holmes again, or maybe you want to hear Pastor Demetrius Watson. It's on my website. Just remember, it's .net, not any other dot, but godswordalive.net. And tonight's session with Minister Reed and Reverend Dr. Vaughn, I will try to get it on my website. Give me a couple of days, probably be Monday or Tuesday before I can get it there. But it will be there, along with their bios. Amen. And I'll do the same for the last two presenters. So we have a few more minutes. We don't want to belay the time, but there are a few more minutes if someone else has a comment or question. Thank God for Jesus.
I just wanted to make a comment. I put it in the chat section, but I just want everyone to know, as Doctor was speaking, it reminded me that when the saints die, it is not a period on the sentence of our life, but a mere comma that leads into eternal life. And so we just thank God for the word tonight.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it really is a miracle, because when you think of a body raising, you know, this is the miracle of the resurrection that excites us. But one day we're going to rise too. Because the scripture says, except for grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Well, Jesus was that grain of wheat. He was the seed. That's the importance of the burial. And he went down into that ground. But you know, when the seed comes back up, it comes back up big with a whole bunch of stuff. That's us. So we thank God for the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Okay, if there are no more questions or comments for you all, and each one of the comments were wonderful. Thank you so much. I have already said this session will be on the website as soon as I can get it there. I encourage you to join us for our last session next Friday, which is Good Friday, where we will hear from Minister in Training, Karen Bowen, and she is with us this evening, and she will be presenting to us what God has given her to share, the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus. Amen. Now, y'all try getting out of your clothes tonight and see if you can do it undisturbed. We'll see how that works out. Not a one of us. Okay, I'll let Minister talk on that. And then the last miracle. Presented to us, Lord willing, next week, Overseer Charles Maxey, Wichita, Kansas. He will be presenting Revivals to Life in the Calvary Graveyard. So I encourage you to invite others on our closing session and spread the word. So thank you on behalf of the God's Word Alive Bible Teaching Ministry. I want to say thank you to each one of the presenters. You have worked hard, and God has rewarded your labors. And some of you are still working hard, and I trust that God will reward your labors as well. We have been blessed by the four presenters that we have heard from, and we'll be chewing on that food and meditating on it for who knows how long. And then, you know, God's word lives on, so we'll be meditating on it for, like I said, who knows how long. I want to say on behalf of the ministry as well, thank you to everyone who Zoomed in. And we always know there's an absent part of us. Somebody wanted to come in tonight, join us, hear what is to be said. But they didn't get here for whatever reason. God knows. And that counts with God. So we remember the absent part of us, the special thanks to you who are here this evening, taking time out of your busy schedule to support me, but not really to support me. Yes, that's on the scale, but really to draw nigh to God. And then thanks to those who have helped God's Word Alive Bible Teaching Ministry in any way. And there have been many helpers behind the scenes. May God reward you openly in his own way someday. And then thanks to each one who has supported this ministry, whether it's through inviting others, telling others, praying for me, praying for the ministry, and also your financial support. And I do need to say, because I do need to say it, that this ministry is not affiliated with any church, but I am in good standing with a church. I want to say that. And my pastor, I'm in good standing with him as well. But this church is not, this ministry is not affiliated with any church. It is supported by the grace of God and by your financial support. So thanks to all of you who have supported the ministry. Thanks to God. In my closing comment, I thank you, Lord, for your unfailing love. So I'm going to turn it back over to Reverend Dr. Vaughn. And he's going to give us the closing prayer and our benediction. Amen.
Precious Lord, it's been so good to be here. And we know your spirit is with us, and we thank you for that. And I pray that this weekend and all next week that people will be able to know that we have been with Jesus. Yes. I pray that anyone we come in contact with will know that we belong to you and that we represent you, that we follow you and love you, that we believe in you. We believe in the Jesus of Calvary.
Yes.
The one who's coming again.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I just, again, I ask your wonderful blessings upon every home who is represented this evening. And we give you all the praise. It's in Jesus Christ, our precious name, we pray, believing. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I love y'all. Love y'all.
Love you too.
Love you too. Love
God bless you.
God bless you.
Love you too. God bless you, brother.
God be with everyone till we meet again.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you all.
Love you all. Love.
Glad to see everyone by name or phone number, picture, however you're here. God bless you.
Bless
Amen.
You.
Hope to see you next week. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank God bless you.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello, Ann.
Hi there, Sandy.
How are you? Hi.
Right now, we're appearing to many via Zoom.
Hi, Sister Janice.
Hi, Janice.
God bless everyone.